FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/17/18, just 2 weeks left to an incredible year. Hey, and there's still more ahead if you believe what my next guest is going to have to say. Dr. Gerald Lumero, been with us many times, very optimistic, very bullish on America, and perhaps for good reason too, but that remains to be seen. But Dr. Lumero, it's great to have you. Hey, first though, as always, be a part of the show and email us. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. So Dr. Lumero, welcome back, and you're still optimistic about America.
Yes. Well, first of all, it's great to be back with your show. It's an outstanding program and that. And I feel optimistic. And I think the reason for that is I believe the long term and the short term, the mid-range trends are all in place. And that while we will see some turbulence in the next 2 years with the House switching to Democrat control, the long range is that it's going to flip back in 2020 to more conservative control with the loss of 49 incumbent Republicans who were essentially anti-Trump. They were not endorsing his policies and programs the way that they should have endorsed their own party's president. But on the long range, everything is in place. The numbers are there. The other side, the left, that's so noisy, is also extremely weak. They don't have in-depth support. Their support is limited to people who are angry primarily, and people who are even on the liberal side of the fence want to see some positive come out of the Democratic Party. So I think overall, all the trends are in place. We have a little ripple. We're going to have another ripple. And I also think we may have a little interest rate ripple as well from Jerome Powell et al. But I think in the long run, it looks good.
So the fact that things are a little soft right now, employment numbers seem to be getting a little softer. We've got, you know, companies not doing great. Profits could conceivably be down. But you think all of that is kind of going to work itself out, huh?
Yeah, I do. And by the way, I think all of it is to be anticipated. I mean, I do not see anything that's happening that shouldn't have been anticipated and wasn't anticipated by me and other people who spend the time to really research it. Mm-hmm. Basically, we have the market reacting to what they expect as future turbulence. The market is incredibly bright. Investors are incredibly bright. You know, they don't mess around with theoretical stuff. They only make decisions, money decisions, based on where they think they can best invest their money. And they don't do it, you know, on whims. They do it because they've thought things through carefully. And the fact the Democrats have the House, the fact that the House has up to 90 different potential investigations of Trump or anything that has the word Trump near it, you know, like the Trump inauguration is being investigated, and Trump had nothing to do with spending the money, mm-hmm. but they're investigating it anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of that, it means that the deregulatory processes are going to slow down. You know, we would have had another tax cut if we had a Republican conservative switch this time around. That tax cut is going to be put off to 2021. The market is anticipating things aren't going to be quite as robust as they could have been, and they're acting, and they're selling certain stocks, buying others, and investing appropriately for what they consider to be the next 2 years. And we're going to have a little bit of a bumpy spot here, and things aren't as good as they could have been. But in the long run, this is just a temporary blip on the radar. And it's going to be back to the smooth sailing in 2021.
Yeah, so you think rate hikes, are they going to raise this week? And if they do, is this going to be the last one?
I won't say specifically if it'll be this week because there's arm pressure on them and that. But I think there's a good chance you'll see some rate increases, which are going to tend to slow down the economy, as we all know. That was bound to happen. And I anticipate it. And even if it doesn't happen, the market is reacting as if it will happen. And so they're anticipating the possibility, and they want their stock positions to be in the right places if it does happen.
Yeah, so... Yeah, the Fed, they promised continued rate hikes, across the board. But now the dollar keeps getting stronger, and it's also putting a damper on real estate, a whole bunch of different sectors in the economy, perhaps on employment as well. But what about the fact, Dr. Lamero, that when you often see this at the end of a cycle where employment peaks, where claims for new unemployment benefits, insurance also peak in terms of on the low, meaning the we're at generational lows now at new claims for uninsurance compensation. You at all concerned that we're at close to a peak?
In many ways, that's possible, but there's a lot of momentum in the economy that's not going to be stopping just by that. There's a lot going on now, and there's a lot of pent-up demand for employment, too, that's going to tend to make that mitigated, the negative effect mitigated. And by the way, it's not been mentioned much in the news, but take a look at what China did. They capitulated to Donald Trump on automobile tariffs, dropping them significantly, about 25% decrease. That's significant. That's going to have an impact. There are a lot of good things going on, and Trump set in motion a lot of really positive things for the economy and his optimism as well. We obviously have the other thing going on, the lawsuits, trying to slow up this administration. But all in all, I think it's going to continue to be positive. I do not see us going into a recession. And I think that we're going to come out in 2021 is going to be a great year. But I think we're going to have ripples, and we're going to have negative news all the time because they're going to try to keep Trump from getting reelected.
Yeah, and you think maybe the Fed is looking at the rate hikes as a means to frustrate his reelection?
That could quite well be. I don't want to put words in their head if they're not going to make those public, but that's certainly a possibility.
Interesting. Well, we don't really know what their agenda is. So what about the Mueller investigation? It looks like that's about to come off the rails, isn't it?
Well, I think the Mueller investigation is going to see basically a giant $30 million no-op, as we'd say in computer science. No-op, meaning nothing happens. No operation happens on the cycle. And that's basically what we're looking at. The Michael Flynn judge, Judge Emmett Sullivan, for example, is going to be very upset when all the documents he sought on, for example, the Michael Flynn case, were not given to him, not given on a timely manner, and I don't expect you'll see them happen right now either. And so everything may get thrown out on Flynn. And in terms of some of the other people, a 14-day sentence for one person. Mm-hmm. And these things are not anything to do with Trump-Russian collusion. These are like minor infractions that they probably would never pursue them if these people had nothing to do with Trump.
Yeah, these are like speeding tickets, right? More or less?
I think jaywalking tickets. I don't even think they're speeding tickets. Mm-hmm. They're pretty minor things. And by the way, in comparison, it's so ironic that where you have a lot of evidence of collusion with Russian folks, you know, the Chris Steele, attempt to get information from the Russians winding up in the Trump dossier, and that was funded by the DNC and by Hillary Clinton's campaign. And the money was spent without full disclosure, but basically hiring a law firm that hired the other firm that hired Chris Steele. You know, it's all these set aside so that the money just eventually gets to the right place where they want it spent. But it's an attempt to not be transparent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So basically, you have all sorts of things that went wrong on the other side, and none of those people are being investigated or threatened or indicted or anything like that. But I think that's also going to come to an end. And I think the House becoming Democrat is actually going to have the reverse effect of what the Democrats realize. I think it's going to push Trump to get aggressive on Hillary Clinton and those operatives and the pay for play issue and the all those things. There's so many of them. We don't want to take up your show with all the possible indictments against Clinton and her, you know, staff and that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, the wrongdoing, the criminality, it's just breathtaking.
Uranium One, yes. You know, there's just so many. The emails, yeah. Anybody else did this kind of stuff, they'd already be in jail.
For sure. No question about it. So your thinking is it's still a Trumpian world here?
Yes, absolutely. The Republican Party is turning into the conservative populist party run by Donald Trump. It's going to continue that way. We have Lamar Alexander telling us that he's not going to seek re-election in 2020. And I think I mentioned at the outset of the program, I went through seat by seat by seat through the Congress. I took weeks to review the election results to make sure I knew what really happened. And there are 49 establishment Republicans who did not support Trump and his agenda that are gone. There were some that resigned. There were some that retired. There were some that ran for re-election and just plain lost. And the preponderance of people in the House that were anti-Trump, they lost.
That's very true.
They're gone. They're not coming back in January. They don't have the job. And what's surprising is there are a couple of dozen new people in the House who are going to be pro-Trump. Mm-hmm. So Trump won the House, even though he lost to the Democratic Party temporarily. That's going to come back because these seats where Trump won by large margins, but then lost the incumbent Republican because they weren't supporting him, the electorate voted them out, basically, they're going to get restocked with conservative pro-Trump Republicans in 2020.
I see.
So he's
point.
Not only going to win by a landslide, but he's going to carry the House with him in 2020.
And that's pretty cool. Can't deny that. Well, certainly a lot to be optimistic about. What about the debt, Gerald? The debt's up to $22 trillion. Trump doesn't seem to care about it. The Congress certainly could care less.
Well, now, don't say Trump doesn't care. He really does care, but he felt the military was in such bad shape that he had to go along with spending money to save the military. So, you know, don't forget, there was a time where we were worried that North Korea was going to launch missiles with nuclear tips against the United States. They had targeted San Diego. San Diego was targeted. We know that.
Yeah.
And other places, too. He did that. He spent the money for national defense, basically. Mm-hmm. But he said he'd never do it again. And I think that if the economy is allowed to grow, the growth is going to more than take care of the wrong trended nature of where we're going now, which is more and more debt. I think we will curtail that and we'll start losing debt once we allow this economy to grow. We're not close to full growth.
Yeah.
This economy has a lot of space to grow upward, and I think it will, and I think that will take care of that problem. Even if it isn't as fast as we'd like to see,
sure,
I think we'll do it. But we've got to get through the negative politics. This is the politics of resistance. This
sure
is the politics of the Democratic Party that does not want this country to succeed.
No, they don't. You got
and
that
and they
right.
don't, because that's how they act.
Sure is. So what about the wall? Is it going to get built? Will he use the military, his authority as the commander in chief, to just build it? Is that what's going to happen? Are they going to let him do that?
Well, I think there's a good probability that they'll give him the $5 billion before the House is taken over by Democrats. But if that happens, expect an immediate lawsuit to shut it down.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have to be built by the military.
Yeah, that's my guess. And it's a last resort. But they've got the money to do it. They probably can do it cheaper than going outside and putting it through the crazy federal procurement procedures. And it's going to be a beautiful wall, right? Right, Gerald? Big, beautiful wall.
I think it'll be a great wall. I do think it's going to get built. And I think some of the revenue from the new NAFTA, we'll call it that,
yeah,
I think will actually ultimately help to pay for it. But I do think it's going to be built. And I really think Trump is going to win enormous political points on this one, because he is confronting the Democrats here and saying, we got to have border security. If you don't have border security, you don't have a country. A lot of Americans agree with that. A lot of voters agree with it. The Democrats continue to have their support for open borders so they can get more voters.
Yeah. What did you think about the meeting between Trump and Pelosi and Schumer?
I listened to every minute of it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great, because he just called them on the carpet. They didn't want to talk about it. They wanted to do it off camera, but he confronted them. He confronted, Pelosi. He confronted Schumer. And I think he did a great job. And I think that we should see more of them, because that is transparency. That is seeing how the government operates and thinks. And instead of having it all hidden behind closed doors and then come out with their press announcements and statements, that are all, just put together to make it sound like everything's on their side. I think this is much more honest. This is the debate. These people don't want a wall. They want open borders. They don't like ICE. And I think more people see that. It helps the conservative cause.
Now, two questions on two future Democratic leaders, maybe current. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all right? She's like the guiding light of today's Democrat Party. I mean, they can't get enough of her. And look, between you and me, she appears to have all of the qualities of a moron.
Yeah, it's amazing. And did you see recently it was proposed that the United States Constitution be amended to allow her to run by lowering the minimum age for president?
I think it's a great idea.
That's kind of amusing that some people think our Constitution has to be amended to let her in so that we can have someone who has no IQ or low IQ.
She's an idiot. I mean,
is uneducated on virtually every topic that you would think a congressman should be educated on. Foreign policy, economics, you name the topic, she's out of touch with it.
Yeah. Yeah, she really doesn't have a clue. And you know what's really funny, Dr. Lomero? She majored in economics. Now, look, I didn't major in economics. I think I know more about economics than she will ever know, which is just make everything free and everyone will be happy, right?
Yeah, well, a few years ago when I was working in industry, but this is symptomatic and that's symptomatic of the situation in education, I interviewed a young gentleman who was out of college, out of one of the Ivy League, I think it was, and he majored in economics. And so, loving economics myself, I said, what was your favorite economics book you read in college? Because I wanted to see where his interests were.
Was it Das Kapital?
Books? He said, I didn't read one economics book. And he has a graduate or a degree in economics.
Is this a joke that you're telling me, or is this for real?
No, this is absolutely true story. I was a hiring manager. You know, I used to work at a major top corporation in the country for years before I decided to just write books. And I was, interviewing for a position on my staff. And this person was a potential candidate, but had read no books in economics. I couldn't believe it. I thought, how did he get through college? I mean, I have a library of books on economics. And he has never read one book on economics.
Yeah.
That tells you the state of education in some of our universities.
Or miseducation or poor education, for sure. Hey, so, and what about Beto O'Rourke? He's a Kennedy clone. I think they cloned
He's more dangerous.
They cloned the body, the mind.
Well, he, there are issues, with his background in that I think would come out. If he ran, but I think he's a little bit more dangerous because he's sort of a charismatic figure that, produces sound bites that at least are intelligible. I can't say that for Ocasio-Cortez, who says the most outlandish stuff, but I think he's a possible and maybe even a high probable candidate for vice president or president in 2020.
Yeah.
I think people like Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, they're dinosaurs whose day is past. And I think Hillary Clinton, I think really would love to run for president again. You notice that she had to suspend her 13-city tour because nobody was showing up for it.
Imagine if you had a book tour and nobody showed up, huh?
That's pretty devastating if you want to be president.
And you can't even give the tickets away, right? You can't even give the damn tickets away.
Yeah, they had to keep lowering the prices, I believe, on the tickets.
I think they were paying people to show up, honestly, doctor.
And they kept having to partition the arenas into smaller and smaller segments so it wouldn't look like it was completely empty. But I had predicted, and I think my prediction was right, that they wouldn't be able to do more than three of those and they'd have to shut them down because they're losing too much money.
Kind of reminded me of the election.
Yeah, I remember one of those tour stops that she had right near the end of the election. I guess it was the end of October, the beginning of November. And they had a musical act that preceded her. Yeah. They had a fair number of people for the musical act. As soon as the act was over, the people left. They didn't stay for her part of the presentation.
So you think they're getting tired of her act, huh?
I think so.
Well, we can only hope, doctor. We can only hope. There's like another alarming trend. I mean, I talked with former Congressman John Lebutlier. He doesn't seem too concerned about voter fraud. He doesn't think it has much effect. But we had this massive vote harvesting operation that took place in the People's Republic of California and other blue states. I mean, how do we beat that? Because they took out seven Republican congressmen in Orange County, almost all from the ballot harvesting.
Yeah, well, I remember one of those in particular. The Republican had, at the end of the election day, was at plus 8%. But then they kept harvesting ballots and finding them and that until the Democrat took that seat. It reminds me, too, of the case in Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, that's my home state. Don't be nasty. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It's just criminal.
Well, I'm talking about they found at the Fort Lauderdale airport in a car rental in the trunk a whole bunch of ballots. What were they doing there?
Hey, it's just another day. Democrats specialize in late voting. That's where they do their best.
It's looking like up to 10 seats may have actually been given up by Republicans due to what I would call an unfair election.
Yeah,
either
illegal
counting or illegal voting or whatever.
You know, we almost lost the governorship here in Florida due to it.
Right.
And Rick Scott, Senate.
No, right.
I have my mixed feelings about Rick. I don't think he's is loyal enough to free economics and, you know, all that. But by any measure, he did a pretty credible job here as governor of the state of Florida since I've been here. I mean, hey, I called him Hurricane Rick because whenever there was a hurricane, man, that guy was in charge, large and in charge. And, you know, he got the word out. He did a pretty credible job. I mean, in Palm Beach County last year when the hurricane hit, Hurricane Irma, I guess it was, we were without power and there were thousands of utility trucks all over the place. Gerard, they got it back within a week, but most of the county, the more populous parts, were up within a matter of a day or two. And you can't even believe the state of the infrastructure, what happened. I mean, literally trees, thousands and thousands of trees, Gerald, that were just knocked over, pulled down the power lines, and boom. And this guy, you know, he got something on the ball, but still, he almost was not. We almost had Governor Gillum, corrupt Democrat, out of Tallahassee. Yeah, the capital of the state. You got to be a little concerned here. And then you got like a million felons who are basically Democrats who just couldn't vote because they were convicted of felonies getting the right to vote. This could be really damaging for the state and the country, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's so important that we discuss and fix our electoral system, because it's being corrupted by any number of different things. For example, you know, if I go back to 2016, I'll talk about that. You know, every state Trump predicted, or every state Trump carried, I predicted he would carry, because
right.
I did an individual forecast by state. And in New Hampshire, I predicted Trump won.
Yeah.
And I believe
he probably did. He probably did.
But he lost officially by 1,000 votes.
Yeah.
But we also know since the election that 6,000 people came over the border from Massachusetts,
yes,
claimed that they were residents of New Hampshire. And the records that have been studied in that show that none of them changed their address later.
Yes.
None of them appeared to get motor vehicle registration or anything.
Correct.
It would indicate they just came across the border, voted for Hillary, and then went back so that New Hampshire would go to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So I think that vote, that state may have actually been taken from Trump.
Yeah, it's very possible. I don't doubt it for 2 seconds. I mean, you know, the one thing you see about the Democrats is, Doctor, that they'll really stop at nothing to get and to maintain power. And then they look for the dumbest people they can find. I mean, look, Trump has picked some winners, but most of them pretty solid intellectual types, pretty knowledgeable. But the Democrats, and this is a problem with with just the electorate in general, is that in America, stupidity has become a virtue. Dr. Lomero, just look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and you know that stupidity is a virtue. When I was growing up, if you were stupid, you were shunned. People wouldn't, you know, it was just very difficult to maintain a life. And yet, here, it's a virtue. I don't understand.
Right. And by the way, in her district back in New York, Queens and that area, her district, she got 87% of the votes.
Yeah, so there's 87% idiots. I mean, look, I'd vote for anyone other than the likes of her. And not that some of these elite establishment Republicans are much better, because like you said, they were opponents of the Trump agenda of really trying to bring back the country. So got to keep our fingers crossed here, Gerald. But anyway, just let me ask you again, where is the best place to find you these days?
Well, my website is greatnewsforamerica.com, greatnewsforamerica.com. And my books, I have 5 in print, both Kindle and, you know, print.
Mm-hmm.
And they're available on Amazon and lots of other bookstores. And believe it or not, for some strange reason, because I don't really promote them overseas, they're selling around the world.
Wow. How did, go figure that. You're like a world-class powerhouse here now. And I knew you when you were just a regular guy. Well, you were never a regular guy.
What's happened is the internet is bringing ideas to people around the world.
Hey, it's so important. Ideas, free flow of information. You know what? Next time we're going to talk about the censorship of the internet giants. I'm talking about Google, talking about Facebook, talking about Twitter, and the way they've turned people into non-persons by deplatforming them. We'll talk about that next time because we could spend a show just on that. Anyways, hey, check out Gerald's site. And look, if you're on YouTube listening to this, then please subscribe, like, and share us. If you're not on YouTube and we haven't been deplatformed yet, then just share the podcast with a friend. It really helps a lot when you do it. Greatly appreciated. If you could do that, that would be your Christmas gift to me and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Ramadan and whatever other religion you might be inclined towards, you might practice. The Twitter feed is at Carrie Lutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And don't hesitate to email us, kl@carrielutz.com. Doctor, it's great to talk to you as always, and I look forward to our next chat.
I look forward to it, too. It's great to be on your show. You have a fantastic program.
Well, thanks so much, and a happy and healthy new year to you. Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, and whatever else, whatever other holidays you observe.
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.